seeing the symptoms of the of everything crashing right now, right? I mean, look at the gold price, Bitcoin price. The stocks are going up, real estate's going up. That's all the symptom of the fiat world collapsing.
So Bitcoin is the money of doomsday preppers, but the doomsday that is upon us is the system of money, as people know it. You can't save money. You can save Bitcoin. It is an insurance policy.
You're always wanting to like make money. And at some point, it switches to like, wait a minute, Bitcoin is the money, and I don't want any of that. That's just trash.
Amplify the signal by liking, subscribing, commenting, and sharing this video. Let's get started.
I have Nova Noodle with me. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's really nice having you on. It's nice to be able to get to know more about your Bitcoin journey. You're such a great host on X. You go by Nova Noodle, and you are a Bitcoin Army member and host of a great space on Sundays. You have a lot of great guests on, companies, really great topics, and people love joining your space. And you also have me as a co-host. Thank you for that. So now we get to actually talk on the show and get to know a little more about you.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, the spaces wouldn't be the same without you and Michelle. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just up there pushing buttons, and you guys keep the conversation going, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You find amazing guests, and I just really enjoy hearing about what's going on in Bitcoin and all the different products or services that people are offering, and gives people a chance to ask questions and find out more about these companies or products, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think most people, even a lot of Bitcoiners, don't realize how far down the rabbit hole you can actually go. And then most Bitcoin companies, they're people just like us, and they just want to, all they want to do is market to Bitcoiners and support Bitcoiners and exit the fiat system. And so like they're people, you know, just like we are. So they love coming to the spaces and talking about Bitcoin, as we all do.
Yeah. So I want to hear about your journey into this. So how long ago did you get started with Bitcoin, and what made it make sense for you? Do you have a moment?
It didn't make sense for a long time, actually. It was just another investment that, you know, potentially you can make money with. I think that's probably how everybody's journey starts. It's like, hey, I can buy this thing. Maybe it will go up. When I originally heard about Bitcoin, a cousin of mine had called me, and he was pushing Bitcoin real hard, but he was a prepper, right? So he was saying, hey, you need to buy Bitcoin and you need to buy ammunition. that was his pitch to me.
Got a bunker and everything.
Yeah. Get a bunker, buy ammunition, silver and Bitcoin. And that's what he wanted to do. And, at the time, Bitcoin had just crashed from like $400 to $200, and, you know, and I'm looking at him and like, man, I don't know if I want any part of this, this thing called Bitcoin, you know? And so.
And you probably thought he was, like just this overreactor kind of maybe crazy person, because he was, like a prepper and, you know, worried about the extremes.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's funny because my first, Bitcoin purchase was like $25. You know, that tells you how bold I really was into it. You know, like I jumped in, you know, with my whole $25.
You're like, you know, oh man, I guess I'll do it. You know, take this gamble.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing. Now what's funny is that I haven't, spoken to that cousin of mine in 4 or 5 years now. He's probably living in Fiji or something, and he's off the grid, you know.
Doesn't even have a cell phone. He's off the internet. He's just like radio, sending Bitcoin over radio waves.
Exactly. He's radio silent for sure right now. And you know, he knew that I was an investor. I had been investing for years, and he was trying to get me to like, hey, sell your Apple stock and buy Bitcoin. And I was like, hey man, you're asking me to sell the best company in the world and buy this thing that I've never even heard of, you know? And it was just
what
an interesting time. I think it was then or 2012. It's one of those 2 years. I don't remember exactly. I remember where I was living, and I can even remember having the conversation, but I don't remember exactly. It was either 2011 or 2012. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, you know, so.
That's crazy. How old is your cousin? Is he younger or is he
old? Well, he's like 2 years younger than I am, and I'm 46, so he's 44 or something.
It's crazy because we think that when we first hear about Bitcoin from somebody who is that type of personality, who you think that they're just, I don't know, a little bit paranoid, you know, and if they're paranoid about sort of like prepping for doomsday type situations, and then they're telling you about Bitcoin, you're thinking that this is just a super paranoid person who is telling you about this type of money that they think you need, and you don't even understand what it is at that point in time. I think most of us, when we heard about Bitcoin early on, we just thought, like, we couldn't even comprehend it. We just think, what is this thing? It's some kind of scam or digital, you know, just anything you could buy, like a digital token or, you know, I don't know. Like, we didn't even know what it was. We couldn't even describe it early on.
He was definitely a paranoid. He would have fit like the paranoid Bitcoin anarchist, like, to a T, you know, and he was just there a lot sooner than I was.
Yeah. But it's funny because as time goes on and then you start to learn about it, you actually think, you know, maybe that the whole doomsday prepper thing, you think, okay, maybe that's a little bit extreme, I guess, you know, but people want to be prepared for any situation, you know. And as time goes on and you learn about Bitcoin, you actually realize it is that safe haven. It is like a bunker for your money, that it is an insurance policy against what's happening with money, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Like, I was telling one of my colleagues at work yesterday that, you know, you kind of start with like, all I want to do is make, if I can make 10% a year, I'll be happy, right? And this investment, maybe I can do it. You're always wanting to like make money. And then at some point, at some point along your journey, it switches to like, wait a minute, Bitcoin is the money and I don't want any of that US dollar. That's just trash. I don't need any of that. And at some point you just go right off the deep end, you know, and then it's all Bitcoin all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's just seeing what's going on in the world and seeing how, you know, we recently had a government shutdown and how, you know, money is still being sent all over the place, like to Argentina, I think, you know, $50 billion. Yeah. I don't know if I'm right on that number, but we don't have money. America's broke. We have huge amounts of debt, and then we're still sending money all over the place. So it just feels like we're at this turning point where you're not looking back. You know?
Yeah, no, you know, you're right. It's like, you know, we always say, once you see it, then you can't unsee it. And then once you see kind of like what Bitcoin is and what it's for, and then it no longer becomes this risk asset. It becomes like, no, it's basically like buying treasury bonds or something, right? It's like, I'm buying this safe haven asset that also has an incredible return because the government's never going to stop inflation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin is the money of doomsday preppers, but the doomsday that is upon us is the system of money, you know, yep, as people right. know it. So it's like, maybe it's not the way people imagine doomsday, you know, but you don't know how this is going to play out. But I just think it's just going to be a switch. The money is so broken that the whole system will just kind of flip over and just everyone will need Bitcoin just suddenly, you know, the gradually then suddenly idea of the price moving up, but also in the idea that it's just going to happen so fast.
Yeah. And if you see it, you know, recently you started seeing people on CNBC and Bloomberg. I'm talking more about the debasement trade and getting into gold and why Bitcoin is important. And like, you never saw that a few years ago. So, you know, we have ETFs now and, you know, more and more people are jumping in. More and more people see it, you know, at least in my office, it tends to be a discussion more often than not, you know, and that's a great thing. I see a lot on X about, you know, retail is not coming or they haven't come yet. So the bull market hasn't started, but retail is definitely here. They're just using the ETF vehicles. BlackRock wouldn't own 700,000 Bitcoin if retail wasn't here.
I want to give a shout out to Bitcoin Sovereign. I love this brand. I love the design. Check out this amazing company.
Use code Ecstasy for 10% off your order.
Check out ChewFugum.com. Life's too short to let the bad vibes stick. When life tries to drag you down, you don't fight, you chew. Fugum is for the moments you'd rather keep your cool and let your gum do the talking. Because Fugum is FU gum, designed for those who don't follow. Check out the shop now with the link below. Also,
accept Bitcoin.
Wear your vibe, show your style, and own the moment.
Well, see, that's what I wonder sometimes about, like, retail, meaning treasury companies and how people are buying treasury companies instead of actual Bitcoin. It's a good transition for money or fiat that's stuck in a traditional system to get into the Bitcoin ecosystem. But the thing that's scary to me about that is, I mean, when you think about 2008 and we had the housing market collapse and mortgage-backed securities and all that stuff that happened. And now we're seeing this massive debt bubble that just feels like a similar situation, like it's about to pop. But it makes you wonder if, say, shit really hits the fan, what would happen to the stock market? I know that those treasury companies somehow are correlated to Bitcoin price, but you just wonder if you would be able to take out your money. You know, Bitcoin actually allows you the freedom to sell when you need to sell. And when you have it in an institution like that, you don't have ultimate control over it.
I am not a believer in investing in Bitcoin treasury companies. That's just not my cup of tea. We've talked about it on Spaces before. I don't own any stock. I don't even have a brokerage account anymore. The only thing that I have is Bitcoin now, and I shouldn't say that. It's 99%, right? I have some real estate and stuff, but I've never been a fan of the Bitcoin treasury company model, because what they have proven to do is buy Bitcoin with investors' money and then turn around and sell more stock, dilute the shares, push it down, and they're just extracting money out of the system. And sure, they might be buying Bitcoin and everything, but the stock continues to go down because they're just diluting the shares so much. They're acting like the Federal Reserve or the Treasury Department, and they're just printing money, and they're using their stockholders to do it. And that's a problem.
People that are buying that, you're buying the stock thinking you're buying Bitcoin, but the whole point of Bitcoin is to get out of that doom loop, of the fiat system, and then they're just doing the same fiat games. So it's going to benefit the company in the long run, because they're the ones holding the Bitcoin and buying the Bitcoin with people's money. The only thing I think it's good for is for people who have 401ks and their money stuck in the traditional system. Then, they don't want to take a 30% tax set to sell everything and buy Bitcoin. So they'll just convert it over to a treasury company.
It certainly has its uses, right? And you just nailed it, right? That's why most people are buying.
Yeah. It's not the same thing. Bitcoin gives you the freedom to be your own bank. You have ultimate control. And that's why, you saying that you don't have stocks, it's one of those things that, you realize that you try to get out of whatever positions you have, or you don't add more to those positions. And it's funny because there's still people that go into, like my husband's work, for example, the financial advisors, they come in and they talk to you about your 401k. And ever since we got into Bitcoin, my husband asks them, do you guys offer Bitcoin investment? And they don't, so they still don't. So he's like, okay, I'm good. And they're like so confused by that. But if you already had your money in that system, you would just switch it over to that if you're a Bitcoiner. But otherwise, you wouldn't just continue adding to that thing once you find out about Bitcoin.
Yeah. And so what I did was I had been putting money in a brokerage account and not an IRA. So I wasn't doing an IRA. I was doing just a brokerage account. And my thinking behind that was, I don't want to wait until I'm 59 to pull it out, or 59 and a half, whatever the age is. Maybe I want to retire earlier. And so I'm going to need the money. So I was just investing in a regular brokerage account. So for me to sell everything and put it into Bitcoin, it was a lot easier. It was just a tax hit, you know, the first year. But I didn't pay any penalties for it, right? If I had been paying penalties, I might have had a different calculation.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing I think that's very interesting right now is Square and talking about retail not being here yet or people not using Bitcoin for payment. They're actually launching something in November where you could actually pay directly with Bitcoin, you know, when you check out at a business that is powered by Square. So that's going to be starting in November. So a lot of Bitcoiners would like to pay in Bitcoin. I know there's some that don't, you know, they make the argument, why would I pay with Bitcoin? I would rather save it. But
I want to take a moment to share a few brands I personally stand behind. These are real Bitcoiners building real tools with people like us. Microseed, guard your keys, take sovereignty seriously, and protect what's yours. Satoshis, proof of walk, because conviction doesn't just live online. You wear it and you walk it. Fugum, protect your vibe. Stay sharp, stay fresh, and stay focused on what matters. And the Bitcoin Advisor, for multi-sig Bitcoin security and inheritance plan.
And I want to know your thoughts on this. When you see the theft in the fiat system, you are happy to starve that system by using Bitcoin, because if you're going to continue using that system for payment, then somebody's benefiting. There's a percentage rate that a middleman takes, you know, for processing the transaction. So when you're using Bitcoin for payment instead, you're actually just opting out of that entire system and you're starving it from transactions, you know. So it's, if you're a real Bitcoiner, I think you would actually want to use Bitcoin for payment, and especially for people who are all in on Bitcoin and they live on a Bitcoin standard. When your money gets converted fully into Bitcoin, every paycheck gets turned into Bitcoin, you know, you're spending it at times when it's higher, you're spending it at times that it's lower, but in the long run, you're still going up. You know, you're evening out, you know, it's not like it's something that you worry about. Even if the Bitcoin price at this today's price, it's $113,500. So if you're going to spend $500 even on something, you know, that $500, even if Bitcoin price goes down by like $10,000, how much are you really up or down on that $500 you had to spend?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, full disclosure, I love Cash App. I use Cash App a lot. That was my very first experience to Bitcoin, and it has worked for me. And so I just always used it. Which is, you know, I guess I'm kind of a true Bitcoiner in that sense. It's like, I don't like to try new things that I'm scared of and they may get hacked or whatever. So Cash App is the one I've used. The most recent one that I tried is Strike, and that seems to work just fine too. I've been kind of, you know, moving things back and forth. But I love Cash App. And just for the reasons you said, because they make it easy. Like if I want to pay something, I can pay for it right there on the spot. If they accept Bitcoin, it's super easy. I personally believe that Bitcoin is much more of a method of exchange than it is a store of value, even though store of value works, right? It's the store of value works because it's a method of exchange, in my opinion, you know? And so,
yeah, I'm a big Cash App user too.
Yeah.
I like it because I even have my, you know, Bitcoin roundup. So over the years, I've been using Cash App for payments in my Apple Pay, you know, it's in my Apple Pay wallet. So pretty much anything I pay for, I'll use it, and then I'll just get the Bitcoin roundup, you know, with the extra change. So it's just, it's accumulated over time. So I love that. But also on the Square, you know, checkout registers now, when you go to a business, you know, they'll have Cash App there available to pay in Lightning. So you could just use, you know, Bitcoin to pay. And that's the other thing too. Even if you aren't fully on a Bitcoin standard, and you don't have all of your paycheck converted into Bitcoin, I think it's better to just use whatever fiat you have sitting around, put it into Cash App, pay for whatever it is you need to pay for, instead of just using the actual cash, because it's still using a whole different system. So I just like to be able to take it out of that system and make the payment.
It makes it real to people, right? Like when you use Bitcoin to pay for something the very first time, like it kind of makes it real to people. Like, hey, this is real. This just happened. I just made a transaction in, you know, less than a second. And I think that means things. And, you know, for folks that have never tried it before, you know, everybody's always looking at the tax consequences. But just keep in mind, like, sometimes you're going to buy Bitcoin and it's going to go down and you're going to be sitting there with a little bit of a loss. And when you spend that, then you get a tax write off. And so like that it will balance out. Right. It's not up only every day, I should say. Right. So sometimes it is down. And if you happen to spend it on that day, you get a little tax write off. So it works both ways.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's just one of those things where, you know, again, if you're not selling $1 million for something and the price is down 10K, you know, it doesn't make a big dent. You know, it's not something that's going to matter, you know, for living your life day to day. And I love how easy that Cash App makes it too for new users to get on and make a payment. You could verify yourself super quick. You know, some apps you have to wait a while for verification, sometimes days. But Cash App, you could just, you know, get on there. And if you want to send Bitcoin, you know, buy the Bitcoin and send it that same day, you could do it within 10 minutes. Like, even if you sign up for a new account, you just have to verify yourself with your ID and all that stuff, you know, but it does it quickly at least. So I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm actually really excited about it. I think it goes on the 10th of November. I'm really excited about it because a lot of folks around here use Square as their terminal. And I can't wait until.
Yeah, I mean, you see, it's very popular. I know a lot of restaurants use something like Toast. And I even heard recently that it would be nice if Toast would take Bitcoin. But seeing that Square is such a, you know, big, like a lot of companies use Square, it would put pressure on other systems to offer the same services. So it's just going to be interesting how long it takes for other companies to actually offer the same thing, because they're going to have competition. If people want to start using Bitcoin for payment, you know, they're going to have to offer it, you know?
Yeah. And also they're looking at the tax rules, right? So like, if you make a transaction that's less than $600, you don't have to pay capital gains tax. Now that's one of the things that's going through, has been, you know, discussed in Congress. If that happens, then it's kind of off to the races, I think, right? As far as people using it. So that's, you know, and quite frankly, the method of exchange is what got me into Bitcoin fully, because I went to Home Depot and at a self-checkout, Home Depot was accepting Bitcoin. And I thought to myself, well, they're not accepting gold and they're not accepting euro and they don't accept the yen, but they're going to accept this thing called Bitcoin. So that made me realize there's a fundamental shift going on in the economy. That
I didn't realize that Home Depot accepts Bitcoin.
Yeah, that if you're not paying attention, you don't catch it, right? Like Home Depot accepts Bitcoin and Starbucks accepts Bitcoin and a lot of companies do. They just don't, you know, talk about it a lot, right? But they certainly do. And that's like, it's a behind the scenes shift taking place.
Maybe it's optics too. You know, you wonder as a large company, they want to accept Bitcoin for anybody who notices it and they'll send them Bitcoin and they're like, oh, perfect. We'll just take these payments for whoever sees it. But if they promote it too much, then maybe because there's such a huge amount of people in the world that don't understand it still. So if they start promoting that they take Bitcoin, people are going to look at them the way that you looked at your cousin, you know, back when he was telling you about Bitcoin and be like, what is Home Depot thinking? Why would they, you know what I mean? What is this stuff they're taking? Why, you know, I'm not going to shop there. You know, people, you know, so I just think sometimes from a corporation standpoint or from optics, they don't want to make it look like their image is something that people don't trust, you know, because people don't get Bitcoin. But it is just so funny how once you understand Bitcoin that you realize that you're relying on a system built on lies, built on deceiving you, and Bitcoin is transparent and truthful, and you know, you're unable to steal from that system. So, you know, and there's theft going on every day in fiat. So
yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. And I know that they probably just change it into fiat right there at the point of sale, right? But you know, the point is like they're making it available to do it. And you know, I know we oftentimes especially on Bitcoin Twitter, right? Oftentimes we say like, hey, if you spend it, well, that's going to be the most expensive cup of coffee you ever had to buy, right? Like that, now your Bitcoin is worth a lot more. So you just paid that. I look at it the other way and I say, like, well, if I bought this Bitcoin for, or you bought this Bitcoin for $1,000 and now you bought a house with it, you just bought a house for $1,000. You know, like, that's right. The way I look at it, right? You can look at it two different ways.
You're like, look at how much life got cheaper for me and this house cost me $1,000 versus.
Exactly.
And even if you have to spend that amount of Bitcoin you bought a long time ago, that's exactly the way to think of it. But even if you are just spending as you're using it, like, let's say your bill is, you know, whatever it is, if it's $100 something you have to pay for, you don't just spend your Bitcoin and never buy it again. You could just immediately buy that $100 that you just spent.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Just take the money out of your bank and just buy the Bitcoin right in the same transaction. Like, you don't have to.
You're exactly right. I mean,
that money.
The goal is to have more Bitcoin at the end of the month than you had at the beginning of the month, right? And so however that happens, either you buy it all at once, you convert your paycheck, whatever, and you just kind of spend. The goal is just spend less than you turned into Bitcoin, right? So you have more sats at the end of the month.
It's literally just learning to save money again.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think so. That's literally what saving money is. It's like you bring in a certain amount of money and you save a portion of it. And you spend less than you then you take in, and that's what saving is, you know. But I think most people just think of it, you know, there's so much consumerism going on, there's so much addiction to shopping and getting things you don't need, and then later on giving it all away to, you know, Goodwill because you have too much stuff in your house. But I think that just people are addicted to shopping, you know, that dopamine hit that they get. But it's just something that you know you just need to learn how to save money again, and Bitcoin teaches you that, because right now you can't save money. Money buys you less and less every year. And everyone listening to this that doesn't understand Bitcoin, you can see that. You know, you go grocery shopping 4 years ago versus now, it's like double the price, you know, or almost double. So it's, you know, you're buying less with those dollars, and it's scary. So it's you can't save money. You can save Bitcoin because Bitcoin appreciates, but you can't save money. And that's why people turn into investing, and they think investing is how they save money. And, you know, investing is just, I don't know, another piece of the debt-based system. It's just another part of that bubble that could eventually pop the doomsday in me. It's just, you know, that
I mean, our whole economy, and it's a debt-based system, right? And so most people, 99% of the people have some sort of debt, and they spend more than they make every month. And it's just the way the system is set up. And, you know, and some people will do it because they're saying, well, my dollar is going to be worth less in the future, so my debt is worth less. I mean, I understand that, but, like, you know, maybe you just, if you try Bitcoin and you go the other way and just save a little bit of money, maybe you'll have something.
Because
Bitcoin is the money, you know?
Yeah, Bitcoin is the money, right. But do people trust debt that much? Like, do you trust that the people creating all this debt in the system, that it will always be okay? Like, I just think that you have way too much faith in humanity, who is, you know, humans are greedy. That's human nature, you know? So, so Bitcoin eliminates that part because it's math, you know, it's math, and it's backed by energy that, you know, no government has been able to hack, you know, or take or manipulate or change the amount of this thing, this system. So I don't know, when people worry about Bitcoin security, even, or the fact that, you know, oh, can't they change how many there are? If they can't take Satoshi's Bitcoin, you know, the million Bitcoin sitting in a wallet, that's the ultimate proof that, you know, that's a bounty out there on the internet for anyone to come and take if they can. And nobody has been. So it's like, I love to just remind people of that. If that ever gets taken, then you have something to worry about. But it would have been done already by now. And if it hasn't yet, you know, they're better off attacking systems. Like, did you hear about even Amazon yesterday?
Yeah, Amazon was down yesterday. Yep.
Yeah, their whole web service, they had an attack on DDoS attack on Amazon Web Services, and they run so many companies. So I guess a lot of companies were down, and that's why people say it's scary to rely on some sort of monopoly. And when Amazon's down, all these companies are affected. So if someone's going to attack anything, they're better off attacking Amazon Web Services instead of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's too strong.
Well, I mean, every hacker in the world has probably taken their shot at Satoshi's wallet, right? Like, I'm sure every hacker in the world has probably done that, you know, and there's always the quantum risk, right? But quite frankly, if somebody gets a quantum computer, they're going to hack anything and everything in the world that is easier than Bitcoin first before they attack Bitcoin.
Yes.
You know, like Bitcoin would be the hardest target.
And if they do start trying to attack it, that's what's so amazing about Bitcoin is the difficulty adjustment, the way it's programmed for if computers were to try to solve blocks faster or mine Bitcoin faster, then it would just adjust to make it that much harder. So it's like, instead, you're just going to make it harder to mine. So you don't want to, you speed up the process. I think by trying to speed up Bitcoin or make it do anything, because Bitcoin's really this clock. It's a new way of telling time and saving time, you know? So if you're going to try to fast forward that clock, you're going to just, you're going to cause harm to yourself because you're going to make it harder to mine and even stronger, you know? So you can't fast forward time.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, I think we're seeing symptoms of the everything crashing right now, right? I mean, look at the gold price, Bitcoin price, the stocks are going up, real estate's going up. You know, that's all a symptom of the fiat world collapsing, right? Because the less and less value the dollar has, the higher all these things are going to go. You know, I always try to tell people that because everybody thinks that if things crash, everything goes to zero. Well, that's not how it works. First, it becomes so inflated that the paper money doesn't mean anything. You can't buy anything with it because the prices are so high. So like, it goes the opposite direction. You know, the way our system is set up now, it's not 1929 anymore where everything went to nothing, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why you have wheelbarrows full of cash to buy groceries in Venezuela. You know, you have money littering the streets because it means nothing. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. You know, it's... And then another symptom, isn't it recently that they decided to get rid of the penny in the U.S.?
I think so, yeah. I think I saw a news article about they got rid of the penny. They're not going to make any more. I'm not sure when that goes into effect, if it already did or if it's later on.
Yeah, so when the penny goes down, then what's next? Then you have the nickel, the dime, and then when do quarters go away? And then change is just not used anymore because, you know, if you have dollars that become devalued and devalued, this change is just annoying to people at that point. Like they're even probably going to think of not only eliminating the coins from the system, but creating larger, like maybe it'll be $1,000 bill instead of just $100 bill. Just cause like in Venezuela, I think I actually have a guest who's going to join me soon that was in Venezuela. And I think she said she has, she's going to be my first in-person interview actually, cause I've known her for years and she just came back from like a long backpacking trip around the world. And she's going to come here and she said she'll bring a note she has from Venezuela. It's like, I think $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, I've never been to Venezuela, but I've been to a lot of countries that use $1,000 notes, you know, and it's, and oftentimes it doesn't, you know, like in the Philippines, for instance, they have a 1,000 peso note, but it's only $20, you know, and it's just, it's incredible that they've already went through this kind of massive inflation, you know?
Like in my mind, whenever I use a $20 bill lately, I don't know if you think of it the same way, but if I ever, I do get cash because of my, where I work. So I do still, there aren't very many people that use cash, but if I have it, I'll just either spend it for everyday life because I have it on me. I'll spend that first. But when I spend a $20 bill, I think of it as a $5 bill lately. Cause I'm like years ago, it felt like this $20 bill got so much more, but now it gets me what a $5 bill used to buy me pretty much. Like, not really, but like, I just, that's like well, a
now you,
little.
Now you, go to, McDonald's and it's going to cost you almost $20 to eat, you know?
Yeah. It's and when I was in high school, I used to be like, oh, I have $5 for lunch. I can get something, you know? And yeah, things are just so expensive now. So it's, even if it's not a full $20, it's definitely not five, you know? So you, you know, life is just like, you can't give your kid a $5 bill and say, oh, go eat somewhere and you'll be okay with $5. You know, you have to give them a 20 because you're like, 10's not enough. They're going to need more than 10.
Yeah, but this is why Bitcoin is inevitable, right? Because people are starting to catch on that, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, it really hurt people on like how much less they could actually buy with their money.
Right.
Especially those that were on fixed incomes. And so I think that's why Bitcoin is inevitable. I mean, even my own parents have started buying Bitcoin, you know, and like, you know, they're much older and on Medicare and like, you know, they don't have a choice, you know? And so, people are starting to catch on and wake up.
Well, I think like everyone doesn't have a choice. Like young people don't have a choice. If they want to have any sort of future, they need to start saving their money in Bitcoin. And, you know, people in like middle-aged people don't have a choice, because if you're either trying to start a family or you already have kids, you have to either worry about how you're even going to start that family or take care of those kids or help them in the future if you don't have Bitcoin. And then older people, either retirement or you have parents that you're worried about how you're going to help take care of them, because the system's so broken that by the time they get older, it's, you know, they don't have they can't just live off of what, you know, their social security or whatever they've saved and cash out. You know, it's just everyone needs it, you know, from every age group.
Yep. Yeah, my kids, so I have kids. I have three adult kids that are in college. One's out of college already. And then I have a high school kid. And then I have a baby because I started all over again. That happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, my older kids have bought Bitcoin. They've gotten into Bitcoin over the years. My high school girl hasn't yet. She asks about it sometimes, but like yesterday she was asking about a credit card and my wife was explaining to her like, hey, we don't use those, you know?
Yeah.
It just takes education, well, right? Because it's the world around them, you know?
Yeah. I think people are just so used to being like, you grow up, you get a credit card, and then you start thinking you could buy too much, more than you could afford, you know, and then it gets you into trouble. So you have to teach people, you know, don't like pay it off at the end of every month, but also don't even get one. You know, at this point, once you're a Bitcoiner, you're like, just spend, live within your means, but also your life gets less expensive as you save money in something that appreciates.
That's right. I mean, it certainly does. That's the only way to look at it. That's what, that's the only way that I always orange peel people are, yeah. You know, I guess everybody calls it orange peel. I'm just trying to help folks, right? I'm like, hey, your life is getting more expensive. My life is getting cheaper. So one of us is doing something right and the other one is not. And so, you know, maybe you just want to sit here and listen for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it to find out. I think people just need to get over the fear of trying to learn something new. And, but I think also that the more pain you see in the world, the more it gets people looking for answers. Cause I think, you know, when you don't need an answer, when everything seems fine for you and you're doing okay and you're well off and you're not feeling the pain of inflation, you're not looking for an answer. But once you start to feel it, and once more, like COVID was a huge turning point for people. Like I got into Bitcoin during COVID, and a lot of my guests that I talked to got into it around that time as well. So that period of time caused so much stress and pain on the system. People actually started asking questions about money and what it is. So anytime we have some sort of crisis, it gets more people asking, you know, about Bitcoin.
No, I think you're exactly right.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a great conversation. We had a limited time to speak today, so I would love to continue this conversation, and we will see you again next time. We're continuing from the last episode, so yeah. Okay, here we go. I've been there, everybody.